Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for words and their stories and people in America, coming up after As It Is.
Hello and welcome to As It Is. I'm Mario Ritter in Washington. Today, we hear about the latest estimates for world population growth. Imagine the population in your town or city increasing by 100%. What would that look like? That will happen in some places by 2100. Then, Christopher Cruz tells us about the use of video games. Are they good or bad for children? World population growth and the effects of video games. Those are our subjects today on As It Is. The world's population is reported to be growing at a faster rate than earlier estimates. A new report says the population will rise to almost 11 billion people by the year 2100. And, as Katie Weaver tells us, the report says the population is unlikely to stop rising in this century.
Our planet is home to about 7 billion people. Since the 1990s, population experts have predicted the number would grow to 9 billion before it begins to slow down and possibly decrease. But a new report predicts the world's population is likely to increase to almost 11 billion by 2100. The new estimates are based on the most modern statistical tools. They make use of government records and expert predictions about death rates, fertility rates, and international migration, or people moving across borders. During the rest of this century, Africa is likely to experience the largest increase in population. The report says Africa's population will grow from about 3.5 billion to 5.1 billion people over the next 85 years. John Wilmuth is director of the United Nations Population Division. He says that in the past, researchers thought population growth in Africa would be similar to that of other areas. They expected slower growth rates as birth control use became more widespread. But, he says, those estimates were wrong.
The level of contraceptive use has continued to increase, but slowly, more slowly than expected, and fertility, therefore, has been falling less rapidly than expected, and the population, therefore, continues to grow somewhat more rapidly than we expected.
The new findings are based on a joint research project of the United Nations and the University of Washington. The researchers believe the population of Asia will reach 5 billion by 2050. That is up from the current 4.4 billion people. The researchers also believe that North America, Europe, Latin America, and the Caribbean area will have a total population of below 1 billion. John Wilmuth says the pressure of feeding the rising population is likely to be less than might be expected.
The relatively good news is that the world has been winning the race between population growth and food production. If you look back historically over the last 50 years, certainly for the world as a whole, for most individual countries, and regions, the increase of food production has outpaced the increase of population.
The latest population estimates appear in a report published in Science magazine. The findings replace the most recent UN projections, which were released in July. I'm Katie Weaver.
Now, Christopher Cruz reports on two studies about video games. Video games are everywhere, but do they help or hurt children? The studies give different answers to that question.
The researchers asked almost 5,000 people between the ages of 10 and 15 in Britain how much time they spent playing video games. They also asked them how happy they were and whether they have good relations with their friends and other students. The researchers found that young people who spend less than one-third of their time away from school playing video games had the highest levels of happiness. The researchers compared them to two other groups, those who didn't play games at all and those who spent 3 hours or more a day playing them. The study was published in the journal Pediatrics. It suggests that the influence on a child's life of video games, whether good or bad, was not nearly as great as the effect of family members, friendships, or poverty. Another study on the effect of video games was performed by researchers at Dartmouth College in 2012. It was published in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology. The researchers say they found that teenagers who play violent video games that give rewards for taking risk are more likely to take high risks in their lives. Previous studies have linked these games to increased aggressiveness in young teens. This study, however, is the first to show that video games do more than increase aggression. It links some games to the use by teens of alcohol and illegal drugs, to risky driving, and unsafe sexual behaviors. They said the games appear to make the teenagers rebel and take part in possibly dangerous activities. Experts estimate people will spend more than $100 billion on video game activities worldwide by 2017. I'm Christopher Cruz.
And that's our show for today. Do you listen to As It Is? Tell us about it. Email us at learningenglish@voanews.com. Be sure to listen to VOA World News at the beginning of every hour Universal Time. And join us tomorrow at this same time for another As It Is from the Voice of America.
Words and Their Stories is next, followed by People in America. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English. Thank you.
the special English program, Words and Their Stories. The white swan, with its long, graceful neck, is among the most beautiful of birds. The swan is mostly silent through its life. It floats quietly on the water, unable to sing sweet songs like most other birds. In ancient times, however, people believed that the swan was given a special gift of song at the end of its life. They believed a swan sings a most beautiful song just before it dies. The ancient Greek philosopher Socrates talked of this more than 2,300 years ago. Socrates explained that the swan was singing because it was happy. The bird was happy because it was going to serve the Greek god Apollo. Swans were holy to Apollo, the god of poetry and song. The story of the swan's last song found a place in the works of other writers, including the early English writers Chaucer and Shakespeare. And the expression swan song has long been a part of the English language. At first, swan song meant the last work of a poet, musician, or writer. Now, it means the final effort of any person. Someone's swan song usually is also considered that person's finest work. A political expression with a similar meaning is the last hurrah. The expression may be used to describe a politician's last campaign, his final attempt to win the cheers and votes of the people. The last hurrah also can mean the last acts of a politician, before his term in office ends. Writer Edwin O'Connor made the expression popular in 1956. He wrote a book about the final years in the political life of a longtime mayor of Boston, Massachusetts. He called his book The Last Hurrah. Some language experts say the expression came from a name given to noisy supporters of Andrew Jackson, America's 7th president. They cheered hurrah so loudly for Andy Jackson during his presidential campaign that they became known as the Hurrah Boys. Jackson's Hurrah Boys also played a part in the election to choose the next president. Jackson's choice was his vice president, Martin Van Buren. A newspaper of the time reported that Van Buren was elected president, in its words, by the Hurrah Boys, and those who knew just enough to shout hurrah for Jackson. So President Jackson really heard his last hurrahs in the campaign of another candidate, the man who would replace him in the White House. This VOA Special English program, Words and Their Stories, was written by Marilyn Cristiano. I'm Christopher Cruz.
I'm Steve Ember.
And I'm Shirley Griffith with the VOA Special English Program, People in America. Every week, we tell about a person important in the history of the United States. Today, we tell about Louisa May Alcott. She wrote one of America's best-loved children's books.
In 1868, an American publisher asked a struggling young writer to write a book for girls. At first, the writer, Louisa May Alcott, was not sure she wanted to do it. She said she never liked girls, and she never knew many except her sisters. She thought her family's activities and experiences might be interesting to others, but she said probably not.
Alcott decided to write the book anyway. She told about her experiences growing up in the northeastern United States during the middle of the 19th century. Her book proved to be more than interesting. Little Women became one of the most popular children's books in American literature. It has been published in more than 50 languages.
Louisa May Alcott was born in Pennsylvania in 1832. She was the second of four daughters. She had one older sister, Anna, and two younger sisters, Elizabeth, called Beth, and May. Her parents were Bronson and Abigail Alcott. Her father was an educator and social reformer. The Alcotts later settled in Concord, Massachusetts. Several great American writers were friends of the family. They included Ralph Waldo Emerson, Nathaniel Hawthorne, and Henry David Thoreau. Mr. Alcott provided the girls' education. He taught them many subjects. He also made them write about their personal thoughts and experiences.
The Alcotts did not have much money. Louisa worked to help support her family. She tried teaching, sewing, and taking care of children. She did not like any of these jobs. Louisa thought of herself as a writer. At the age of 16, she wrote her first book. It was called Flower Fables. She decided to sell what she wrote. She wrote many kinds of poems, stories, and plays. Her stories were exciting, but unrealistic. She sold them to newspapers and magazines for small amounts of money.
In 1862, during the American Civil War, Louisa May Alcott went to Washington, D.C. She served as a nurse in a military hospital. She cared for sick and wounded soldiers. She wrote letters to her family about her experiences. She included these letters in a book that was published the next year. Critics praised it, but it did not bring her much money, and working in the hospital damaged her health.
In 1865, she visited Europe as a helper to an older woman. Alcott hoped to regain her health. She spent a long time away from her family. Her health did not improve. But she thought about her writing. When she returned, she agreed to her publisher's request that she write a book for girls based on the life she knew. Little Women was published in 1868. the book was immediately popular with people of all ages. It brought Alcott fame and a lot of money. She continued writing other popular books for young people. These included An Old-Fashioned Girl, Little Men, and Eight Cousins.
Louisa May Alcott wrote books for adults as well as children. She published these under another name, A.M. Barnard. These books were published before Little Women made her famous. They were very different from her children's stories. They were about love, power, and unhappiness. They have been published again in the United States. One book is called Behind a Mask, The Unknown Thrillers of Louisa May Alcott. The book includes four mystery stories. Another is called The Lost Stories of Louisa May Alcott. These stories are about love, betrayal, and illegal drugs.
Alcott wrote a story called A Long Fatal Love Chase. It is about an independent young woman. She marries an older man who already has a wife. She flees from him. He follows her throughout Europe. The book tells of insanity, violence, and death. Louisa May Alcott tried to get the book published in 1866. The publisher rejected it. He said it was too shocking. A man who collected Alcott materials found the unpublished story in a bookstore in New York City. He bought it for about $50,000 a few years ago. He reportedly sold it to a major American publisher for about $1 million.
Louisa May Alcott wrote many exciting stories about love, yet she never married. She continued to support her family during the last years of her life. In fact, she cared for the young daughter of her sister May, who died in 1879. Alcott was involved in the movements to end slavery and to gain voting rights for women. She wrote that, "I take more pride in the very small help we Alcotts could give than in all the books I ever wrote." Louisa May Alcott died in 1888.
Louisa May Alcott's most famous book, Little Women, tells the story of the March family of Concord, Massachusetts. The story begins during the American Civil War in the 1860s. Mr. March is away from home. He is with the troops of the Union Army. He is a religious worker. Mrs. March is raising her four daughters by herself. The March family is very close. They do many things together. They do not have much money. They suffer shortages caused by the war, yet they share what they have with people who are in need.
The four daughters are Meg, Joe, Beth, and Amy. They are strong, brave, and loving. Joe is the most important person in the book. She is smart. She has a good imagination. She writes stories, and she creates plays that the sisters perform together. Joe also is independent. She chooses a non-traditional life. She goes to New York to become a writer. There she meets an older man, a professor. She returns home to care for her parents. She writes stories that become very popular. Later, Joe marries the professor. Together, they establish a school.
The March family in Little Women is very much like Louisa May Alcott's family. Her sisters are like the sisters in the book, and the leading person, Joe, is like Louisa. Joe must work to support her family, just as Louisa had to do. One of Joe's jobs is to help a family member, an old woman called Aunt March. Joe does not really like Aunt March, but she loves the old woman's house, especially the large library with hundreds of books. This is how Alcott writes about this place.
The dim, dusty room, the cozy chairs, the globes, and best of all, the wilderness of books in which she could wander where she liked, made the library a region of bliss to her. The moment Aunt March took her nap, or was busy with company, Joe hurried to this quiet space, and curling herself up in the easy chair, devoured poetry, romance, history, travels, and pictures like a regular bookworm. All of these wonderful books put great ideas into Joe's head. Joe wanted to do something very wonderful, Alcott writes. What it was, she had no idea as yet, but left it for time to tell her.
Joe's beloved sister Beth dies young, as Alcott's own sister Beth did. Joe is very unhappy. Her mother tells her to write, because that always made her happy. Joe writes a story that went straight to the hearts of those who read it. Joe cannot understand how her simple little story became so popular. Her father explains, "There is truth in it, Joe. That's the secret. You have found your style at last. You wrote with no thought of fame or money, and put your heart into it. You have had the bitter. Now comes the sweet."
Louisa May Alcott's book, Little Women, is still extremely popular. Women who read the book when they were young often give it to their daughters. Some famous American women even claim they decided to become writers after reading how Joe March became a writer in Little Women.
This special English program was written by Shelley Gollist. It was produced by Paul Thompson. Our studio engineer was Afim Drucker. I'm Shirley Griffith.
And I'm Steve Ember. Join us again next week for another People in America program on The Voice of America.